Barátunk a reklám, ő következik.
Minden út egy utazás, és mi a Mazdánál arra törekszünk, hogy annak minden pillanata tökéletes legyen. Mazda CX-5 utolsó széria, 194 lóerős, 2,5 literes mild hybrid benzinmotorral, akár milliós kedvezménnyel, vagy kedvező finanszírozási feltételekkel elérhető. A finanszírozást az Euroleasing nyújtja, THM 4-től 4,9%-ig. A tájékoztatás nem teljes körű, a részletekről érdeklődjön márka kereskedésre. Mazda, Crafted in Japan.
Ez reklám volt. Szerettük.
Welcome everybody. This is a Triple Coverage podcast. I'm your host Balint Kovács, and with me there's another special guest from the United States. I'm here with Arif Hassan from The Athletic. He's the beat writer and insider from Minnesota. He covers the Minnesota Vikings. So we will talk about some Vikings topics. But first of all, hi, Arif. How's your day going?
My day's going pretty great. I was actually going through a bunch of computer problems earlier last night. I was worried I wouldn't be able to make it. But, you know, everything's fixed. Everything's actually running even better than before. So I'm pretty happy.
Great, it's great. So before we start the show, please introduce yourself to our audience. Where can we find your writings, and where can we reach your contents?
Yeah, so everything I write is over at The Athletic, which you can find at theathletic.com, which if you wanted to go to my author page, it's just /author/Arif-Hassan. And you can find me on Twitter at Arif Hassan NFL. That's ARIFHASAN NFL. That's a lot more informal. I don't always, talk about football on my Twitter account. Mostly I just joke around, but, I've been writing about, the Vikings since, 2011. So I guess 10 years now. I started out as a blogger, and I made my way all the way up to here as a beat writer. So it's something I'm pretty passionate about.
Yeah, so our main topic will be the Vikings. And first of all, let's start about the 2020 season. How is your complete feeling about the last season? How was it to make it from the beginning to the end, covering the Vikings? And what's your feeling about this 2020 not so good season?
Yeah, before the 2020 season, I said, I could see anything happen to this team. I could see them only win 6 games. I could see them win 13 games. None of that would really surprise me. And of course, they went straight down the middle. They won 8 games. So that's not too shocking. I guess they were a little bit worse than I expected, but there was a lot of uncertainty heading into the season, and it really played out. I mean, they had essentially an entirely new defense. I think they had 7 new starters on defense for 2020 compared to the 2019 season. And that makes a ton of sense that those guys struggled, especially early on. So the areas where they did struggle, primarily those are areas we could have expected to see some struggle. I don't think anyone expected that, their star edge rusher, Danielle Hunter, would be out for the entire season. I don't think that they expected that Michael Pierce would necessarily opt out because of COVID-19 concerns. There's some drop off that was unexpected, but most of it, you have a bunch of rookies playing. So most of that was expected. The offense played a little bit better than I anticipated. So that kind of made up for some of it. I think that Cousins had a pretty good year. Obviously, the star rookie wide receiver, Justin Jefferson, had a really phenomenal year, and that helped things out a lot. But their struggles were somewhat predictable, too. That offensive line wasn't playing very well, just as it hasn't for the last 10 years. And it's going to continue to be an area of concern. So the Vikings season went, maybe not in the same way, because they lost 4 games and then they went on a winning streak. And it's very easy to give up on the team too much and then buy into the team too much. But at the end of the season, the average result essentially was something that we could have seen coming, even if it was a little disappointing.
Yeah, it was kind of a roller coaster year for you and for the Vikings. And I think the main concern was the pass rush and the coverage at the back end of the defense. We can talk about some minutes about the defense, because usually Mike Zimmer defense performs well, above average. But this defense was kind of a mixture of bad and good.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I think actually mixture is the best way to put it, because it wasn't, you know, anything like the worst defense in the league. I'd be surprised if a Mike Zimmer defense got anywhere close to becoming the worst defense in the league. And so, you know, there were some, you know, circumstances where that defense, especially in the second half of the season, was able to put things together, at least until the Eric Kendricks injury. You know, things kind of fell apart after that. And I think people would be kind of surprised to know that, you know, they ranked in the top half of like points allowed, but that's not really, you know, the standard by which we judge Mike Zimmer teams, right? You know, we judge them by whether or not they've got the ability to become, you know, a top five defense in points scored, which they were in each of the last 3 years prior to this. So, you know, it's a pretty, you know, obnoxious scenario for the Vikings to have to, you know, figure out all of these different positions. Like you say, the pass rush was a big issue. That'll be resolved potentially when Danielle Hunter comes back. But, you know, that coverage, especially at the beginning of the year, I mean, they were expecting a lot more from, you know, they don't really have any veteran corners, but guys with a little bit of experience, people like Chris Boyd, they had Holton Hill on the roster. You know, they wanted those guys to be able to step up, and they had to rely on those rookies. And the rookies hadn't really earned a lot in terms of, you know, the playing time early on. And so they had to simplify the defense. And, you know, by the second half of the season, they were able to figure things out. And I said they finished in the top half of points allowed. I meant over the last eight games. So that's kind of where that defense was able to get things. But, you know, starting out, especially against Green Bay and Indianapolis, I mean, that was just a really frustrating way to begin the year. And it was kind of shocking. I expect them to get back into top 10 territory actually fairly soon, just because they'll have another year in the system. They'll bring in a couple of additional players, not too many. But yeah, it's the combination of neither having pass rush or having coverage that allowed quarterbacks to sit back in the pocket and then pick apart a bunch of inexperienced corners.
Yeah, let's turn our eyes to the free agency and the upcoming offseason, because there will be big questions and concerns about the salary cap, watching the Vikings situation. And there are some free agents, for example, Anthony Harris, who will be leaving. I don't think so. It's so sure, but he is one of the top safeties in the market. What do you see? What do you expect from this free agency upcoming for the Minnesota Vikings?
Yeah, I don't know that they'll be able to keep any of their guys. I mean, obviously, Anthony Harris is going to be kind of the biggest story. And if they find a way to keep him, you know, power to them, that would be pretty surprising. And it would be a big coup. They'd have to kind of figure out how that money works. I mean, the primary reason that, you know, free agency is such a concern for them is because they have very little in terms of salary cap space to be able to kind of pay these players. So I would be a little shocked if they were able to keep Anthony Harris. They already just let go of Kyle Rudolph in order to make cap space. But, you know, some key backups like Eric Wilson at linebacker, Hardy Nickerson at linebacker, you know, they might go. They've got, you know, even their backup quarterback, Sean Mannion, is hitting free agency. Maybe they'll be able to re-sign him. That's not going to be a huge deal one way or the other. Their backup tackle, Rashad Hill, who's their top backup tackle, and he's actually played quite a bit for the Vikings as injuries have piled up. You know, he's been pretty good. You know, he's hitting free agency. We don't know what's going to happen there. Starting guard Dakota Dozier is hitting free agency. I don't know if the Vikings want him back, but, you know, that's going to be a position they have to resolve anyway. So, yeah, I mean, I'm taking a look at the list of free agents, and like maybe Brett Jones, the backup center, is a guy they'll bring back. And he's a guy that they've brought back a lot. And then at the beginning of every year, they cut him. And then like week three or four, they sign him again. I think it's so they don't have to guarantee his contract. But, you know, there's a lot of players hitting free agency. I don't expect them to bring any of those guys back, honestly. I mean, you know, some of these backups, maybe Amir Abdullah, for example. But yeah, free agency is going to be really tough for them because they don't have a ton of money. They've got some real talent leaving and they're already a talent deficient team in some areas.
Yeah, what about Jaleel Johnson? He had also 60% of the snaps in the defensive line, and I think he is a meaningful piece in the interior.
Yeah, I think that if he had been more consistent, you know, the Vikings would be more aggressive about, you know, potentially retaining him. And I wouldn't be surprised if they try to re-sign him, just because they just don't have that many defensive tackles. I mean, you said Jaleel Johnson was a key piece. I mean, he had to be. I think they only had three defensive tackles play significant snaps. It was him, Shamar Stephen, and Armin Watts, with sometimes you had James Lynch in there. Sometimes you had, gosh, this practice squad guy. I don't even remember his name anymore. Anderson Abdullah. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, that, they just, and those guys played maybe 5% of snaps. It was really just those three. And so I could see them attempting to re-sign Jahlil Johnson just so that they've got enough bodies in the building to be able to play the position effectively. But I wouldn't expect them to want to give him a pretty significant role just because it was really difficult for him to generate a ton of pass rush pressure consistently. I think he flashed, but he didn't necessarily, you know, play every down with a bunch of consistency or have a ton of production from down to down to down. So they might re-sign him, but that's just because they don't really have that many other options.
And how do you see the future and the departure of Anthony Harris? He is 29 years old. He had a great 2019 campaign, but kind of a down year in 2020. Mm-hmm. How do you see his future? Can he be another elite safety in this league? Can he have renaissance with another team?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think that, you know, he played really well in the Zimmer system, but when Zimmer changed the system, like you said, he struggled a little bit more. And so I think teams will be kind of questioning whether or not he's truly, you know, he truly can be an elite safety. That said, if you can play like an elite safety in one system, at least one team will be running that system. And so he should have a market for, you know, his services to play like in the cover four defense that he excelled so much in. So I could see him playing pretty well, but I think a lot of teams have the exact same question you do, which is, you know, can he really be an elite safety if he fell off so much, especially because, you know, the talented cornerback fell off and, you know, maybe that was a big part of why, you know, he seemed to play so well back in, you know, 2019, 2018. So, that's a really big question. I wouldn't be shocked if he got $13, maybe $14 million a year. Wow. It kind of depends because this cap market is difficult to figure out. And, you know, if that's the case, the Vikings almost certainly have no shot. But if the rest of the league just says, hey, I don't know if he can play outside the Mike Zimmer system, you know, maybe the Vikings be able to grab him at a discount.
Yeah, but it will be tough to retain him. And if the Vikings cannot retain him, who will step up in the shoes of Anthony Harris?
That's such a tough question because they just don't have players at the safety position either. They only have three players at safety, just like at defensive tackle. You know, is Harrison Smith and Josh Metellus, you know, Michigan safety, who I thought actually played pretty well in training camp, but, you know, had a couple of struggles. He saw the field for about 20 snaps, so you don't want to overdo it. But, you know, he didn't necessarily earn the Vikings trust, and they actually signed George Aloka during the season in order to kind of make sure they had another safety, and they played Aloka over Metellus. So they didn't clearly have a ton of confidence in Metellus, but Aloka is also a free agent, so it's just Metellus and Harrison Smith on the roster. And I wouldn't be surprised if they decided to pursue a mid-value free agent, maybe somebody like John Johnson from the Rams or Marcus May from the Jets, both of whom I think are very talented. But because the free agency market at safety is so stacked, I mean, with Justin Simmons and Anthony Harrison, Marcus Williams, all, you know, potentially consuming a ton of cap space and commanding a lot, you know, these mid-market safeties might go for a little bit less. And if that's the case, you know, the Vikings would do well to go after someone like Marcus May.
Yeah, it will be tough also, and will be tough for the secondary to keep up with the division, and the passers are in the division because Cam Dantzler didn't have a great year. Jeff Gladney didn't have a great year. I think Harrison Smith was the bright spot, but can they be a great coverage team together?
Yeah, well, I think if you only looked at Cam and Dantzler's, like the final eight games that he played well enough that I think that you could, you know, be comfortable with him being a starter. But yeah, Jeff Gladney, you have to worry about. Harrison Smith was a bright spot, but he didn't play as well as he used to play. Yeah. And so you could say he's a bright spot, but you can also acknowledge, you know, he was, you know, maybe the NFL's best safety between, you know, 2016 and 2019. And he didn't play like that this year. So you can't, you have to see development from those corners. And I think that there's enough from Cameron Dantzler's play over the second half of the season that you can say, yeah, I kind of trust that he'll, you know, keep that up. Jeff Gladney's a bigger question. I personally think that he'll, you know, improve pretty dramatically. I liked what I saw, but, you know, based off of, you know, what he put together on the field and the statistics, you can't say that with a ton of confidence. So yeah, without the corners, it's going to be tough. And again, you know, with the safety leaving, it's going to be even tougher to maintain, you know, the coherence that they didn't even have last year. So it's going to be a big project for Mike Zimmer to be able to fix that secondary.
Yeah, and they spent a lot of draft capital last year into the secondary. How do you see this year's draft strategy? For example, in the first round, which path will they select? And in the second, third round, what are the options for Zimmer and the team?
Yeah, I mean, it's wide open. I think that there's a good chance they could trade back in the first round. So they could pick up a couple of extra picks. And that's important because, you know, they don't even have a second round pick. So if they wanted to have a midday strategy, they would need to acquire that capital somehow. But I mean, I think it's justifiable, basically almost any pick. I think that you could pick an offensive lineman and that would make a ton of sense given those struggles. I think if they picked a defensive lineman, that'd make a ton of sense. A safety would make a lot of sense if there's one good enough. The TCU safety seems to be catching a lot of people's eyes. At corner, that's a little bit less justifiable, but I think that you can make the argument, especially because, Gladney needs to focus on one position right now. He's playing both the nickel slot and the outside position, and that can be tough for a corner to learn. So if you grabbed a first round corner, you'd be getting a starter, even though it doesn't seem like you need one. So I think that makes a lot of sense. So, I mean, you could go almost any position there. I think given how difficult it is to find, like, say, a defensive tackle in this year's draft, you know, if a good one is there in the first round, if Christian Barmore is there,
wow.
that might be their pick.
Yeah, for me it would be a little bit shocking, but I would ask you a question about edge rush. How do you feel about?
Yeah, I think that makes a ton of sense too. You know, especially the edge rushers in this draft are very much like the kinds of edge rushers the Vikings like. You know, you've got these lengthy guys with a lot of explosion and athleticism, Kwity Paye and Gregory Rousseau, and depending on how these interviews go, Jalen Phillips, and then Jason Owa from Penn State is very explosive. And all of those guys, you know, if they test well at their pro days are going to show up on the Vikings' radar. That's something that they could do too. I think that there's, again, any position, I think you could almost justify. The only reason I kind of focused on defensive tackle is just because after Christian Barmore, it's pretty bare. There's not much you could do. So if you've got a second or third round strategy, you might do a lot better at cornerback, at safety, even at edge rusher in the second or third round than you would in the first round, especially if a guy like Jalen Phillips falls. And, you know, because he medically retired from football, then came back, you know, a lot of teams will be uncertain. They don't get to interview him at the combine, so he could fall. So it's tough. I think that, you know, that edge rush position is going to be really important. I think they're going to laser focus on it, but I don't think that means they'll necessarily spend a first round pick. It really depends on what they think is going to happen in the second and third round at that position. And there's a couple of pretty good players there that they could be interested in.
And who is your top favorite to draft in the first round if you were the Vikings?
If I'm the Vikings and, you know, and it's not something crazy like, hey, Kyle Pitts or Ja'Marr Chase falls or something like that. You know, if I'm in the realm of, you know, the most realistic scenarios, I think, if I'm the Vikings, I might go after Christian Barmore. I don't think he's the best player in the first round there for them. I think that Kwity Paye is a better player. But I think that the drop off at other positions is just so significant that I'd rather wait to get that third receiver, wait to get that third corner, wait to get that edge rusher and be comfortable with my defensive tackle pick, because I think the Vikings can be comfortable with a guard in the second round or something like that. But it's tough because it's always difficult to convince yourself not to pick the best player there.
Yeah, it's difficult because they're drafting really low, but I think the main positions that will need upgrade, like guard, defensive tackle, edge rusher, safety, corner, there are a lot of areas where we can find holes in this Vikings team, but it's tough to get a top-notch talent, a blue-chip talent right there where they're drafting, and it's a great idea. For me, it's a little bit shocking to draft Barmore, but you can convince me in this scenario. and after that, for example, in the third round, who do you see falling to them, waiting to them to be drafted?
Oh, yeah. The third round. I mean, first, I think that in the third round, that's when they'll begin to have some discussions about, you know, the wide receivers that they might want to be interested in. So, I think one of these wide receivers that people are talking about that could potentially be first round talents, like, you know, Rondale Moore, Kadarius Toney, et cetera. You know, there's like five or six wide receivers people are talking about as first round talents. One of them is probably going to fall all the way to the top of the third round. And, you know, that might be kind of where the Vikings, have the potential to pick. Other than that, you know, if you take a look at, you know, they might want to grab another linebacker. I don't know, with the Bar injury. So I could see, you know, the other linebacker from Ohio State, you know, Baron Browning. I could see, you know, the Vikings being kind of interested in him. The cornerback from Georgia, I've seen him go in the first round. I've seen him go in the second round. I've seen him go in the third round.
Both of them.
Right. Exactly. Both of them. And also the Syracuse corner, Melifonwu. There's a ton of range for that.
He's a very, very Zimmerish guy, I think.
He is. Yeah. And yeah, you know, he plays tough. He's very physical. He's long. And I could totally see them being interested in a quarterback like that, especially if he falls to the third round. The Notre Dame edge rusher, Ade, that's a guy that seems to be kind of a Zimmer style player that could fall. I think the Vanderbilt corner, Dayo Odeyinbo, both Nigerian edge rushers. I think that those guys, if they don't pick an edge rusher early on, those guys are somebody that might be interested in. They might go after Josh Myers from Ohio State at center, just because they might want another, you know, interior offensive lineman, or the Wisconsin Whitewater guy, the Division III guy, Quinn Weiners, who impressed everybody at the Senior Bowl. He could be a third round pick.
He's a great character too.
He's got great character. And then actually, I think my favorite third round receiver might be the Ole Miss guy, Elijah Moore. So. Yeah. There's a lot of options for them in the third round, and they've got, you know, a bunch of third and fourth round picks too, so they could grab a bunch of these guys.
Yeah, like last year when they picked a ton of picks in the late rounds. Like,
yeah, oh my god, dying. My job was so hard on that final day.
It was tough. So the main positions that you might address in the third round will be linebacker, wide receiver, and guard, I think.
Yeah, I think that there's a good chance of that. Maybe they wait on linebacker. I don't know. But yeah, I think receiver and guard are really good examples of the kinds of players that they might go after in the third round. Maybe that's when they go corner as well, just because, you know, technically they don't need a starting corner. They need a guy that can play 600, 700 snaps.
And if they steal another stud wide receiver in the mid rounds, like not that stud like Justin Jefferson, but if they can develop a third receiver in that system between Thielen and Jefferson, it will be a leather passing attack with this rushing attack together. It would be a very hard to defend this passing attack, this attack and this offense. So yeah. But after the draft, what do you see? In which path will the Vikings go? Will be this team a contender in the NFC North? Will they fight for the crown of the NFC North? Do you see them going to the playoff, making the playoffs, or which path do you see them selecting?
Yeah, I think that, you know, there's a pretty good chance they're the second best team in the NFC North right now, especially now that the Lions have gotten
behind the Lions, worse. Of course.
behind the Lions. Sorry. Yeah, the Lions got way better. You're right. I think that they could contend. It's another kind of situation where it's wide open and you could see all kinds of outcomes for this team just because of how they played last year and you know, all the new players that they'll have to acquire to put into new positions. So I don't want to say that, you know, hey, I really feel like these are playoff contenders because I've got no idea, but this would be another year where I wouldn't be surprised if they won six games or they won, you know, 11 games. You know, both of those, would make a ton of sense to me. I think it depends on, you know, how well they kind of hit on these picks and whether or not, you know, those mid rounds or even just, you know, the players on the roster currently, you know, step up in a big way. If they can find somebody on the roster that can play guard, right. You could get Kyle Hinton, maybe Ezra Cleveland plays a lot better this year. It's entirely possible that these players improve because, you know, they haven't been playing for that long. It's a very young team on the offensive line. Cleveland, Hinton, maybe Blake Brandel, which, would be a bit of a surprise, but, you know, if they've got some players step up internally on the roster, I mean, there's a very good chance they could push for 10, 11 wins.
Let's give us some breakout players on both sides of the football, first on offense, then on defense.
It's too easy to pick Irv Smith. I think that that's just, it's so obvious. So I'm going to ignore him for now and say that the breakout player is going to be his backup, Tyler Conklin.
Yeah.
The Vikings love to play two tight end sets. He played really well the final five games of the season. I think he averaged something like 30 yards a game. And when Kyle Rudolph was absent, and I think we'll see a lot from him. I mean, he could potentially push for, you know, 450, 500 yards and a couple of touchdowns, which I think for a player like him would be a huge breakout. I expect Irv Smith to do well. I think I'd be pleasantly surprised if Tyler Conklin does well.
Yeah. Much like because Rudolph is gone now.
Yeah. Yeah. Because they let go of Rudolph, and I don't expect them to sign him back after they let him go.
So on defense, another breakout.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. You're right. Yeah, I got to pick the defensive guy. that one's tougher. I'll go with Armin Watts, the defensive tackle. If they don't draft Christian Barmore, there's going to be all kinds of opportunity for someone like Armin Watts, who I thought in 2019, the final two games of the season, especially, you know, he played a full game against Chicago in week 17. I thought he played really well. He struggled a lot in the first four games this year. But in the middle of the season, Armin Watts, I think, was playing really good football. And I think, you know, he didn't have a ton of experience at Arkansas. He only had 1 year as a starter. He is a really athletic player, and he is about the size and the length that the Vikings like at that position. So he's my breakout player. If they don't immediately grab a starting defensive tackle, there's going to be a lot of opportunity for him. He gets to benefit from playing next to Michael Pearson, Dylan Hunter this year, which he didn't last year. And he might be able to produce a lot of pressure.
I thought you would pick Gladney or Dantzler.
I don't like to pick first or second round picks. I think it's just it's a little bit too. Yeah, I think the guy that they like a lot is going to be.
Yeah. Then it's or DJ Wonnum or Troy Dye, who I had.
I'm not that big into DJ Wonnum. I don't. No? I wasn't really impressed with what I saw. He had a couple of really key plays last year for sure. They were unblocked pressures. I don't want to give him too much credit for that. And there's going to be a ton of competition for that spot. I mean, you're going to get Kenny Willekes is healthy again. So you're going to get him. You're going to get another edge rusher in the building. Ifeadi Adenabo is a restricted free agent, so they can sign him back pretty easily. And so there's just a lot of Hercules Mata'afa even, which, you know, who knows. But that's five players competing for that one spot. So it'll be hard for Wonnum to be able to prove that, you know, he deserves to have a heavy rotation.
Let's chat a little bit of Kirk Cousins, because when we talk about the Vikings, the main topic is Kirk Cousins and his leadership, his mental process and everything like that. Can he be that guy who leads this Vikings team through the playoffs, deep in the playoffs?
I think so. I don't know that he'll ever be the reason that the team wins a Super Bowl, but I also don't necessarily think he holds a team back or anything like that. And he certainly demonstrated, I think, especially this year, that he can respond to changing situations. You know, he used to be really bad at the 2 minute drill. He used to be pretty poor when the chips were on the table, and he improved a lot this year. He's been a better improviser. He's been better in the 2 minute drill. He's been better on third downs. And so he plays pretty well. I don't want to say he's anything close to like an elite quarterback or anything like that. And he doesn't really like make magic happen like some of the top quarterbacks do. But if your players are getting open on their own, you know, he'll be able to get to the ball to them really well and pretty accurately and pretty quickly. So I think that he can be a quarterback of a Super Bowl winning team. You just have to make sure that the team around him can kind of support his level of talent, because I mean, either you've got a super team like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, or you've got a quarterback that can just kind of, you know, improve everybody around him, like Patrick Mahomes or Lamar Jackson. So, or Josh Allen even this year. So if you don't have that supporting cast around him, I don't know that that team can compete. Whereas we've seen a couple of teams with that supporting cast make it just by virtue of how good the quarterback is. I think the Packers are a good example. I mean, the rest of that team is pretty questionable sometimes.
You kind of painted the picture of the 2019 San Francisco 49ers, where the team carried Jimmy Garoppolo to the Super Bowl, but they weren't able to make it through the Kansas City Chiefs because of the quarterback play. Yeah, it's kind of the same situation with the.
Yeah, it's very similar.
With a different team, with a different supporting cast, but yes, it's a great idea to have a chat about his ability to make it through or win it all. Yeah, so thank you for accepting the invitation to this show. It's really an honor to chat with you about the Vikings and the situation that surrounds the team. So that's all for today. Thank you, Arif, for joining me, and thank you for our listeners to listen to this podcast and following us. So last but not least, thank you, Arif, and have a great day.
Yeah, thanks for having me. You have a good day too.
Thank you.
Ez a műsor a Béton közösség tagja.